I suspect that it's tempting as we look at the world that we live in to think at times that those that are against us, those that are even against God, are bigger, are more numerous, more powerful than what we are. Perhaps even bigger, more powerful, more numerous than what God is. And it's in such a time that I believe we need to become and grow and reclaim the courage that God has called us to. Today I have the privilege of kicking off a sermon series through the book of Joshua that we're calling overall A Time for Courage. When I think about courage, Joshua is probably the first person that comes to mind because we read the book of Joshua, we read how God used him in some very courageous ways. But how did he get that way? That's what I want to focus on today, is kind of the prelude. What did it take for Joshua to become this man of courage that we read about in Scripture? And so I've titled the message, Training a Courageous Son or Daughter, but we're going to use the word son for our outline because I kind of did a brief informal poll and most people preferred that than daughter because daughter is a long word. And for those that are guests or visitors or watching online for the first time, most of my preaching uses an acrostic outline based on a word out of the title. And so that was the choice, son or daughter. And it's not that daughters aren't valuable. I have a daughter that's very valuable. But I believe these same principles that we're going to see as we look at that relationship between Moses and Joshua as that spiritual father to a spiritual son applies, whether we're a son or daughter ourselves, whether we're a father or a mother, or whether we're simply a Christian believer who God has called to invest in the lives of people. It's our job to not only become courageous followers of Jesus, but to train courageous followers of Jesus. So what does that look like? As I thought about Joshua, I thought about this 40 years that he spent wandering in the wilderness that really was no fault of his own. If you go back to the beginning, as the Israelites first approached the promised land, and Moses sent these 12 men in to kind of scope out the land, to get a lay of the land, to decide and to figure out how can we do what God wants us to do. These 12 men go in and they scope out the land and they say, well, this is an incredible land. But the enemy is too big, too powerful, too numerous for us to deal with. In our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. We look so small. We look so incapable. Except two men, Joshua and Caleb. And they come back with kind of the same report. It is an incredible land. The people are indeed large. They are indeed numerous. But God has told us it's ours. We can do this. And so, in some ways, the nation of Israel at that point acted a lot like a democracy. And they seemed to have voted. And the vote was 10 against 2. And all of the nation lined up against Joshua and Caleb and aligned themselves with the 10. And they said, no, we can't do it. And God said, okay. You will perish in the wilderness. And the punishment for their refusal to obey God, their punishment for their refusal to be people of courage, was that they would wander in this wilderness until every adult, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, had perished. And so 40 years it took for that generation to be gone. And at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, we find a transition about to take place. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and 8 say this. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." Joshua wanted to go 40 years earlier. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to do what God had called him to do. And yet, those around him says, "We can't. And we won't." I think we live at a time as Christians that many people around us say, it's too difficult to live life. It's too difficult to represent Jesus. It's too difficult to really be people of faith. We need to just step back and compromise and get along with everybody and not make waves. And sometimes I believe that we suffer as a nation because God said, "Okay. If you don't want to follow me, if you don't want to follow my directives, I won't force you. But you'll wander until you're ready." And so that we look at this time for courage and we ask, "God, how can I not only be a person of courage, but how can I train that next generation? How can I train those even of my own generation? How can I train those that are older than me? How can together we enter that promised land, that land of rest that God has called us to?" One of the things that I've always been fascinated by the life of Joshua is not just his courage, but his example. In Judges chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Whatever Joshua did, he did it in such a way that all of those who observed it followed God until he was forgotten, until no one was left to remember. Even after he had passed away, there were those that had seen how he lived, had seen how he led, and they kept the momentum alive. But evidently, they failed to pass it on. Because after the book of Joshua, you get into the book of Judges and you get into some very dark times for the nation of Israel. And so I think about John writing in 3 John verse 4. There's just one chapter there. And he says, "It gives me no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." What would happen if we decided that now is a time for courage to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to train those around us to be people who walk in truth? If we listen to what John says, it means that we would be filled with a greater joy than we've ever had before. And they would be filled with the presence of God. So what does it look like? What do we need to focus on? What can we learn? You see, I believe when we look at Moses as a spiritual father to Joshua, there are lessons that every one of us can learn. As I've said before, as whether we're a son or a daughter, a father or a mother, or simply a person investing in the lives of others, when we apply these lessons universally, we learn to train in three ways. First, we learn to train a courageous servant. One of the greatest things that we can do for one another is to train people to serve. Serving is not a natural characteristic of our human flesh. Our natural characteristic is to sit back and say, bring me my dinner. Serve me. Take care of my needs. But God says that's not the way it should be for His children. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but catch this, his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. And so as the Israelites were spending their time traveling and wandering, and they'd put to this tent of meeting where Moses would go and meet with God. And then he would come out of that tent of meeting and he would share the words from God to the people. But often missed in all of that greatness of what Moses was doing is this little line that says Joshua was there with him. Joshua was there learning. And when Moses went out to talk to the people, Joshua stayed there. We learn to serve by learning to spend time with people that are invested in God. We learn to serve when we spend time with people who are doing what God has called them to do. We look at the life of Moses, and it was not a jump up and down, pick me, I want to lead type of person. In fact, when God showed up to him in this burning bush and calls him to go and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, Moses says, you've got the wrong person. And God says, no. You're just the physical presence. He says, I'm going to actually lead them. And Moses took on that role with God's help and with God's courage, and he took to himself, and the Bible really doesn't say how Joshua was chosen, how he ended up being the guy that was there. But he learned from the example of Moses. And when we learn to be people who serve, we need to have with us someone that we're teaching, that we're training, that can continue when we no longer can. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 28, God has given this instruction to Moses to say, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will be the one to lead this people across the Jordan, and he will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. God had made it clear to Moses, after Moses had been disqualified because of his rejection, because of his disobedience, God says, you won't be the one to lead them into the promised land. But he says, here's who will. And God connected Moses and Joshua, and he told Moses to prepare Joshua, that he will be the one to lead. Are we connecting with who will follow us? Are we training a courageous servant in the people around us? We also see in Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, we know and we often teach our children about Moses going up onto the mountain to meet with God and getting those stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them and you know, coming down, and there's chaos in the camp and he breaks them and he has to go back and get a second set. Verse 13 of Exodus 24 says, Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. You see, Joshua was with him in life. Joshua was with him in his time with God. Joshua was with him learning to be a servant. We think of Moses as this great leader, but the reason that Moses is thought of as a great leader is because he was a great servant, willing eventually to do what God told him to do what God called him to do. We train a courageous son or daughter when we train a courageous servant. Eventually, as Joshua knows that his life is coming to an end, They've entered the promised land. They've had success. He realizes that the people themselves have to choose. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You can't make that decision for someone else, but you can make that decision clear. And we train courageous sons and daughters when we train courageous servants who choose wisely to follow God, to be obedient, to listen to the things that He says. Not only do we train courageous sons and daughters when we train them to be courageous servants, we train them to be courageous sons and daughters when we train them to be courageous observers. In other words, we train them to pay attention. How often do we go through life not paying attention to the things around us, to the people around us, to the work that God's doing in our life, to the work that He's doing in the lives of others? We don't even necessarily pay attention to the temptations that the enemy brings against us. We just find ourselves floating through life, and when we step back, and how did I get in such a mess? And at least in my life, most of those times, it's because I wasn't paying attention. And I look back and I see God had given me plenty of warning. He had given me all kinds of things that it was meant for me to see and to observe and to pay attention to, and I just didn't notice. Rarely do things fall apart all at once. And it doesn't matter if it's a marriage, a relationship, a building, a house. It takes time. And it's time compounded with a lack of paying attention that causes the eventual destruction. I go, as I drive and photograph, and I love old barns, and some of these old barns that are just falling apart have great character, and they make great subjects in a landscape photograph, but my mind begins to think, how did it get that way? What did it take? It didn't just wake up one morning and all of a sudden the wood was weathered and half of the siding was missing. It was a day at a time. It was a nail at a time rusting off and coming loose. Until eventually it was too big of a project for anybody to believe could be managed. But how does that look like in our, what does that look like in our life? It's that little sin that we say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's that little act of disobedience that we say, well, it's not that big of a deal. It's those little things, the day at a time, that all by itself doesn't seem like very much until it's rusted away into our heart and our heart has become so encrusted that we can't break free, or at least we feel that we can't. Joshua was taught by Moses to be a person who was an observer. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 21, Moses is speaking. He says, "At that time I commanded Joshua that you have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." Now, the second half of that, if Moses had just told Joshua, "Don't be afraid, God will fight for you," would require faith. But Moses didn't leave it at this blind faith that says, just believe it, just trust it. He says, no, here's an example of how God has already done that. Pay attention. And when we train courageous sons and daughters, we train them to observe what God has done in our life and what He continues to do in our life. Too many times we want to take the credit. And we want our children to think God, we're successful because we're so good at what we do. And we fail to train them to observe God's working in our life. And whatever success we have is because God has worked in my life. God has given me abilities. God has given me gifting and talent. And Moses wanted to make sure that Joshua knew that what he had observed happening in the defeating of these two kings would continue because God's the one that did it. He goes on in Exodus chapter 17, verse 14. Again, the Lord says to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. This is a case where Moses had sent Joshua to lead the army. They were fighting the Amalekites and completely destroyed them. And Moses knew why. Because God was with them. Joshua was in the midst of the battle, and it would have been fairly easy, at least from my perspective, to think, wow, I'm a good general. Look at what we accomplished today. We defeated our enemies soundly. And there Moses and Aaron on the mountain praying and lifting their hands to God and helping one another, and they knew who won the battle. And he wanted to be sure that he trained Joshua to observe the real victory. And so in that battle, he says, write this down and make sure that Joshua hears it. Make sure he knows who the victory really belongs to. We see that training in the life, and we talked briefly about Joshua and Caleb and their reports as they came back from the promised land about how good it was. And even though the enemy was large, even though the enemy was numerous, even though the enemy was powerful, they had observed that their God was more powerful than anyone that they would face. It wasn't a popular opinion at the time, but it was based on the training of observation that he had received from Moses. And he had realized and he had learned that if God calls him to it, then God will make it happen. Unfortunately for Joshua, it took 40 years before he was able to see the fruit of that. And we're not a very patient people. And to think of God calling us to something as an individual, so something as a church, and our mind thinks, well, that happens next week, that happens next year, that happens now. And what happens if God says, you're not ready? Keep watching. You'll know when it's time. We train courageous sons and daughters. When we train courageous servants, we train courageous observers. But we also train courageous sons and daughters when we train within them a courageous nature. When courage becomes a natural part of who we are. For Joshua, it was that learning process. It was that time spent with Moses. In Numbers chapter 27, verse 18, the Lord says to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Moses made sure that Joshua knew that he was gifted. And it wasn't just a gifting of physical sense, but it was God's Spirit within him, God's Spirit upon him. And when we begin to teach and to train our sons and daughters that all who are in Christ have been given the gift of God's Spirit, they've been given a new nature. The old, Scripture says, the old is gone, the new has come. And so many times we make the excuses for ourselves, and it teaches our children that it's okay to make excuses for our sin. And we need to claim that new nature that God has called us into. We need to teach and train every believer that they have a new nature. That the old excuse of the devil made me do it doesn't carry any weight. It's either our choice to do or our choice not to do. Because our nature is a nature of Christ within us. And when the very nature of Christ dwells within us, we ought to live differently. Joshua learned because he was told by Moses, because he was trusted by Moses, that this nature within him would do powerful things because it was the nature of Christ. As Joshua and the other 11 came back from the promised land on that first journey over, they gave their reports that were, majority was bad reports. Numbers 32:12 says, no one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. There was a recognition that their nature was different than that of the other 10 who were reporting. And it wasn't simply that they gave a different report. It wasn't simply that they were putting a positive spin on things. But there was a recognition that their nature was different because they served the Lord wholeheartedly. How often do we go through life and we serve God half-heartedly? We serve God when it's convenient. We serve God when it's comfortable. We serve God when it fits our schedule. We serve God when we like what His Word says we ought to do. But when we're around a certain group of friends, we kind of serve ourselves because we don't want to make waves. We don't want them to be uncomfortable with our continuing serving God. Joshua was trained as a courageous leader, a courageous son in the faith to Moses because he had within him a courageous nature. It's why he gave that challenge that we spoke about a little bit ago, where he said, I don't care who you serve. He really did care. You read the rest of the book, and he challenged them over and over again to follow God. But in essence, he was saying, I can't make up your mind for you. As much as I would like to, as much as I want to, you have to choose. But when it came down to it, he says, in reality, it doesn't matter to me what you choose. I'm still going to choose what's right. I have this nature within me that says, and he had learned that, we'd seen that when he was the minority in the good report. I will not go along with sin. I will not go along with what's wrong. No matter how many people outvote me. He says, as for me and in my house, we will serve God. That's our nature. That's who we are. That's unchangeable. We raise courageous sons and daughters when we take on ourselves that courageous nature that says, I will follow God no matter what. And when our sons and daughters see that in us, it helps to train them. It helps to prepare them. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9 says, now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. And so the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. The nation, and I believe that's why the verses we looked at earlier at the end of the book of Joshua and the beginning of the book of Judges, where followed the Lord throughout Joshua's lifetime and throughout the lifetime of those who had witnessed what God did through Joshua. I believe the reason for that was because they had recognized this courageous nature was from God. And they wanted it. If I were to take a poll in this room, if I were to take a poll within Michiana, South Bend, Mishawaka, any of the cities surrounding us, and I would ask, what do you want to be known for? I would get a lot of different answers. But I'm guessing most of them would involve some aspect of courage. Or that most of the answers would require some type of courage. I want to be known as someone who helps others. I want to be known as someone that cares. I want to be known as someone that stands for those who can't stand for themselves. I want to be known for those that notice people that no one else notices. All require courage. But if I were to say, how are you going to get there? Many would have no idea. It's why most of those I want to be known for simply become dreams rather than actions. But as we consider what it looks like to face a time for courage, I look at our culture, I look at the news, I look at our world and our nation, and I think, Lord help us, we're in a mess. And it's not caused by any individual, it's not caused by any specific political party, it's caused by people as a whole losing sight of where God wants us to be. And some have rejected it fully and completely, and others have just kind of wandered off to the side. And it makes it look like those who are against us are greater than those who are with us. And then we need God's reminder that greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. As we prepare to spend some time going through the book of Joshua, we're going to be talking about various aspects of living with courage, what that looks like. But I wanted to begin today by saying it's a time to train a courageous son and daughter, those who would serve, those who would observe, and those who would live with a different nature, the nature of Christ. This morning, as we come to a time of decision, that question I think remains for every one of us. What will I do? Will I be one who lives trained to be courageous? Will I live one as one who trains others to be courageous? It really begins with that new nature. It was kind of the final point, but it's kind of the beginning point. It's that willingness, that desire to say, God, I know I've sinned. I know my life has been lived against you. It's been lived for self. It's been lived in opposition to your word, God. I want to change. I want to repent. I want to turn away from all of that. I want Jesus to be in charge. I want to be immersed into Christ, to have my sins washed away, to be filled with that Spirit of God that gives me that new nature. And for some, that's the decision that you might need to make today. To say, I want to be courageous in committing my life to living for Jesus. Many in this room have already made that decision. So the question is, how will you live as a courageous servant? How will you live as a courageous observer? Not standing on the sidelines, but noticing what God's doing and getting involved in it. How will you live with a courageous nature? If you have a decision that you need to make publicly, you're welcome to do that this morning. But I pray that every person here decides today that you will train a courageous son and daughter, whether they're your natural born sons and daughters or whether they're just the people that you encounter in life, that you will be courageous. Would you stand as we pray? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Your love has called us to yourself. Your love has given us everything we need to be courageous and strong, just as you called Joshua to be. And so God, today help us to be those that are committed to training a courageous son and daughter, to training those around us. And as we commit to that, may we begin by committing to be those courageous people so that we train from experience. So may we be courageous servants. May we be courageous in observing what you're doing so that we would be involved in it. And may we be courageous in living by the nature of Christ every moment of every day. Father, may we represent Jesus well as we lift him up and he draws all people to himself. It's in his name that I pray.